There's another advantage. I don't have to speak as loud if you don't mind.
Would you please see you want to sit over there by
Father?
Here.
Let's start with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And late comers can be admitted, can't they? There's somebody who would hear thee.
The door's left unlocked.
Okay, thank you. Well, first of all, and this is the procedure I'd like to see if we could follow, is to have reports from the people on our last week's meeting. Now, or both on the meeting and since the meeting. Now, who was taking notes? Was it Louise?
Yes, Father, it was Louise.
And she's not here, eh?
She's coming right now.
Please?
She's coming right now.
Oh, speak of the angels and you hear their wings. You get right here. As I was saying, we just began that I like the meeting to begin with, first of all, the reading of the minutes and what we should have from, say, next meeting on. And if it's okay with you people who are residents here, Carol and Mark, anybody else? Residents. Could we have a meeting next Wednesday? Wednesday of Holy Week, is that okay? Then Thursday, you have the beginning of the Holy Week services at 7:30 in the evening, right?
7:30.
Thank you. Maybe if I sit here,
yes.
A little over there. So first of all, do we have Louise? Oh, good. Thank you very much, very much. As you know, this is, you might say, just normal protocol. The sequence in general for the meeting should be: we open with a prayer, we start with a prayer in the chapel with the Blessed Sacrament, then we come up here, have the minutes from the last week's meeting, and the idea is, by the way, to everybody read the minutes for a few minutes, and then any comments that you want to make, because then they will become part of our permanent record. And then there are reports to make, and that I would like to get from the people. Then any new business plans that we've got, both for next meeting and into the future, and then we close with a prayer. Now, I would like to also mention this. When did our last say Mass downstairs? What day was it? What day was it?
Two weeks ago.
Well, may I ask, how many of you people have been to Mass today? Have been. How many have not been to Mass today? One, two, three. And, well, today I think we shouldn't. I've got a telephone appointment at 9:30 and I should be there. But if it's agreeable with you, you can always, you know, attend a second Mass. But if it's agreeable, can we have Mass then next Wednesday here?
Let's do it tonight, though.
Please.
Let's do it tonight. All in favor of knowing that Father feels good?
Well, thanks for your comment. But my question is, first of all, I could even say Mass here. It is 2 weeks, isn't it? And now, what I could do is call up. It's Dolores and John. They call me at 9:30. And so what if we do this? Now, if you people are in a hurry or whatever, I'm just thinking out loud because I do recommend to priests that the Blessed Sacrament be renewed every 2 weeks or so. Now, you've not had Mass here in the last 2 weeks, have you?
We could possibly go until next Wednesday, Bobby.
Please, I didn't hear quite. Please.
Next Wednesday.
We might go till next Wednesday, is what she's saying. They can possibly do that.
Please. Wait.
She's saying we might possibly be able to go till next Wednesday before Mass.
Okay. Yes. There's no difficulty. It's just at the very least every month. My own recommendation to priests is every two or so weeks. So very well. Let's then make it definite for next week. Okay. And now, as far as the timing goes, I think beginning at 7 with our meeting, that's about as early perhaps as is reasonable. Although, what time do people eat here?
That would be okay. Anytime is fine.
Well, what I'll do then, if it's agreeable with... Now, I repeat, those who cannot stay or would rather... I would like to get into the habit of offering Mass on a 2 week basis. I would like to. There's been no Mass here since 2 weeks ago, right?
2 weeks ago when you were here.
The last time we had Mass here. Okay. So now I'd like to make, since we're here anyhow, to get a Mass in, and it might start maybe like next week then, 8:45 or even 8:30, but at least say 8:45. Finish by 9:15. Okay? So we will have Mass then here next week at 8:45. And if you've been to Mass and you're, whatever reason, don't hesitate then. If you have to leave, leave. Understand? On the other hand, if you can stay, I would like to renew the Blessed Sacrament then, at least by next Wednesday, okay? Now, any comments? You probably didn't have a chance to do the reading. Let's spend a couple of minutes reading the minutes. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I did not bring with me, this is on almost the last point, but Dolores O'Connell faxed me. I've just been tied up. I was, first of all, getting myself together after the eye surgery, for which I'm deeply grateful to Carol. God bless you. But Dolores O'Connell has worked out a list of things that need to be done for Intermorifica. And what I'd like to do is to make copies of those notes or recommendations, requests really, that Dolores made. And I could have passed them around today, but I thought it'd be wiser to have you people give them some thought. So what we'll do is, I may call up a few people even before next week's meeting, and then distribute the requests that they have in Washington, and then say next week, and then during Holy Week when we are here, as many of you has come, to make some commitments, because we do need commitments. There's a lot of work to be done, more than perhaps we people can realize. So okay. Now, Dave Armstrong is not here, is he? Who's the one that brought Dave Armstrong? Was it John McAlpin?
I believe so, Father, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, Dave has not been coming very often to the meetings. And I made sure that he would be here last week, and he's not here today. And this is obviously not, how shall I put it, not just a suggestion. Dave has his work, got work, he's got a family, growing family, and it may be, because he knew about today's meeting. So I think I should make a decision right now, because regarding to organize a guild with him as chaperone, what I think I should do is ask whether there are any, remember what we asked about samples and writing and so on, do I have anything, is there anything coming tonight from you people?
Richard has something for
Bill. Richard, do you have something?
Yeah, Bill
said. Let me put it this way, and this is really providential, because as I explained it at one of our last meetings, that these are not just get-togethers for discussing the faith. These are, well, meetings to do some work. And consequently, and I couldn't put it more plainly, only those should come to the meetings who are willing to work. Am I clear? And because that's the purpose. And
but tonight, Father,
yes.
Some people were notified that the meeting was canceled, and then some didn't get the word. So if someone's not here tonight,
say that again.
Would you tell them?
Some people were told that the meeting was canceled.
Who told you?
I heard that, Father.
Yeah, Father. I guess you called Peter. You talked to Peter at
yes.
the hospital, and. When I called back, I got Eleanor, and she said that the people at the switchboard were calling people canceling this meeting. And she was trying to catch up on as many of those calls as she could.
Well, the switchboard was just totally out of order. And, well, then let's go for tonight. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to put it this way. Nobody but myself has a right to either call or dissolve the meeting or call off the meetings, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And if, for whatever reason, and people can think they can take over and tell you what to do and what not to do. Switchboard had no business. Nobody told the switchboard. In any case, okay, so for the next week, but I repeat, in other words, we want the meeting only for those who are willing to work. That makes sense? And if we end up with three people, fine, we have three people who are willing to work. We don't want numbers, pardon me. I'm interested in numbers. There's work to be done. Been doing this for 23 years for the Holy See. There's work to be done, and my job is to find people who are willing to do the work. So, very well, for this meeting then, let's make sure that there's a meeting next week unless Father Hardin, dies by next week, and then we'll still have a meeting. Bring the corpse over here. So, okay, because Bill Armstrong's absence, see, and this cannot be tolerated. He got a job, he's supposed to be here. And I'll talk to Dave and tell him, explain to him. So the number two, Eucharistic Crusade. Now that, just to report back on that, we are meeting with Bishop Timlin at the convention of the Institute on Religious Life in Chicago. He'll be there for the 3-4 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the week after Easter. And what we're doing is clearing the schedules of Colonel Sanchez and other people to make sure there will be a meeting. And if any of you, as many of you can make it, try to make it to the meeting with Bishop Timlin, because the pronuncio will be there, who is getting an award, and Bishop Timlin will be there, Colonel Sanchez will be there. So, and my hope is to get, this is almost a, might say, a special grace, a gift, because people who are there representing the church, in other words, behind our Marian and Ignatian catechists is the church, is the Holy See. Not independent of the bishops, but this Ignatius idea. The bishops will allow the Jesuits to come into a diocese, and of course they're supposed to behave themselves, but then they, the Jesuits, do not depend on the bishop for their authorization. The only authorization they need from the bishops, that's the way the Society of Jesus was founded, is to be in the diocese, period. The work and so on comes from the Holy See. And this is the mentality, this is the way we think, and the way I'd like to have you people think too. So,
is there a specific day in that conference that we'll be meeting?
No, by next week, by next Wednesday, we will know. Because it's kind of, we want to, Colonel Sanchez is coming in, I'm told, to the United States on Thursday. He's speaking on Friday. Now the registration, you noticed the schedule. The registration for the convention is at 12 noon, or beginning at 12 noon, on Friday after Easter. The Mass, Colonel Sanchez Mass, is at 4. But I'll know by Wednesday if that's... I wish I could know sooner, but we've been in contact with Colonel Sanchez through people that are working for us in Rome. But it would be... One day would be enough, even several hours. Yes? Okay. So, Eucharistic Crusade, and the plan, by the way, definitely, is for October of this year. We plan to launch Eucharistic Crusade, and in the meantime, I have told you that Archdiocese of Detroit will be having a Sacred Heart Congress. Did you know about that? In June. The first Sunday in June. And Phyllis Bolzano, the one that I think I've told at least some of you about, who have been planning on a Eucharistic, a Sacred Heart Congress for several years, and we're writing the chance we got nowhere. Then she and other people came with her, meeting we had at the university, like three meetings. Meantime, our cousin, the first cousin, Bishop Britt, became bishop. And so they are having, but it's not nothing big. It's being held in one of the parishes in Detroit. It will be advertised throughout the city as a congress. Now, whether we will have a Sacred Heart Congress in Scranton, Pennsylvania in October remains to be seen. That's one thing we want to decide with Bishop Timlin when he comes to Chicago. But definitely, the Eucharistic Crusade is to be launched in October. Now, in the meantime, there is a lot of work to be done, because correspondence with the bishops, responses from the bishops, and then informing the bishops. We'll need a telephone line, and I talked to the bishop, as I think I told you a week ago, Friday, and it was indifferent to him whether we have the office here in Detroit, which made more sense than in Scranton, because he'd have one priest who has other jobs to do. In any case, as many as you can, come to the Eucharistic Crusade meeting the day will be given to you. And it could be Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Bishop Timlin, of course, will attend all the meetings as president of our institute. So, as a Phyllis Bolzano, then, has not been, she informed me about her having Eucharistic or Sacred Heart Congress in Detroit, but nothing more.
Mother, has that been changed from September 10th to June?
No.
Because you mentioned June.
What's here?
In The feast for the Sacred Heart is in June. The Congress is in September.
The Congress.
Congress is in September, Father?
Yes.
The Congress for the Sacred Heart?
Sacred Heart.
Yes.
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 St. Okay. Joseph's in Detroit. Right.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
Safe.
Okay. And that's whatever the date is, but it's in Detroit, and the whole city will be informed about it. And I'm not sure how elaborate the program is. I've been invited to speak, so I plan to speak at the Congress. But this is independent of us. I think I told you what happened. Phyllis had planned on the Congress, and when she and Father Perone and others came to the university, I told them, well, how about maybe using the Congress as a launching pad for the Eucharistic Crusade, which she liked the idea, but I found out she had never in her mind had anything else but the Congress. And then when, without, you know, might say consulting me, which she didn't have to, she talked to Bishop Britt about having a Congress in Detroit, which was fine. But that settled it, as far as she's concerned. So now Phyllis is willing to cooperate with us. On the other hand, her thinking is in terms of a Congress. So it's really our business to promote the crusade. But the crusade is done through the bishops. In other words, the bishops of each diocese are to be contacted, and then Bishop Timlin will be the one to start the correspondence. He will, of course, write to Archbishop Mitre, too, whether the crusade would be established in the Detroit Archdiocese. And only the bishops, of course, that are interested will obviously want to cooperate. On the other hand, they're just starting from scratch. And the more we know about the Eucharistic Crusade, what I might do is distribute, maybe, there's a lot of copying, though. Who'd be doing the copying for us? Xerox copying. Well, I might have maybe the, because we do have both the norms and the handbook available in print. And those maybe could be, copies could be made of those and distributed, because what we want to do is to change certain things that would be more relevant, first of all, for the United States. And secondly, remember, the crusade is out of existence, going on, well, not quite, almost 30 years, about 27 years. And much has happened in 27 years, with especially a stress on the catechetics, which is so desperately needed nowadays. So maybe, like Richard, if I could get copies of that, and you could make copies for us then. Okay. Now, any more information, Marion, on the CS to Jesus?
Richard, everything Bill sent, there's
in, yes, there? Yes, it's right inside the envelope.
That he sent
there's
a report.
There's two articles, one on the CS to Jesus.
I should like to say, for the future meetings, though, it would be better if, well, we had an agenda for the meeting, you see, and each person give a report on what they're doing or what they found out, you see. Thank you. This is present status. Let me read this. This is from Bill, right? First, Bill Butler is going to send all of the names of the people in attendance in Kalamazoo, Michigan, as soon as the list is completed. Telephone conversation 22nd, which is when? That was yesterday, right? Okay. Secondly, Bill Butler will also send the questions that were asked of the conference, if he can find them. Now that, from now on, be sure that Bill doesn't lose them. Number three, if the Kalamazoo of questions cannot be found, Bill Butler will provide a list of questions most commonly asked at the conferences. Okay. Number four, a one-page brochure will be designed and sent to all participants at the Kalamazoo conference. Number five, personal contacts will be made with the adults of the Kalamazoo Conference who express interest in establishing catechetical groups for students. Now, regarding number five, I'm not quite sure what this will mean. However, for the future, and this is where you and Bill, for the future, it should be understood, even as the conference is being planned, that they will be provided a follow-up. In other words, that the people attending the conference will be informed this is not just a one-day affair, that there is to be a follow-up. In other words, as I told Bill when he, even before he began, in other words, Bill Butler's work is partly the result of the Marian Nation Catechist existing. You understand? Before Bill started. Because the idea of having a rally, that's great. It's the best Billy Graham tradition. But it's not Catholic. In other words, there must be these youngsters, as we know so many, are confused and they need guidance. And there are priests that we can get, there are answers we can provide, but whatever, so that at least for this time we'll find out, but for the future, to make sure that Bill Butler works with us. Of course, he'll work with us and we work with him.
I think he does send out a mailing to everyone in the conference from the CS to Jesus rally.
Yes.
But Bill Basic is talking about a letter then coming from the catechists, urging the children to get into these groups, trying to, the addresses we have, we'll try to give them the name of an adult geographically nearest them who has agreed to host a group of children in their home. And then these adults will be, there'll be one over them in that area. Now, two or three adults expressed an interest in taking the catechist course.
Okay.
And we had a sample of the
main. Now, this is, see, because it's especially the young. That's the Holy Father's great concern, the young. So many of the middle-aged people we've lost. A miracle, of course, we're praying for miracles of conversion. But otherwise, so many have been lost. And this, by the way, is also a pattern among the clergy, among the priests. That so many of the younger priests, they're straight. You know, they've been living in this world for years. They know what's going on. And often, in spite of whatever training they may have got or not got in the seminary, their faith is stronger than those who have been ordained in the last 25 or 30 years. So it's the young we've got to reach out to. And being in Kalamazoo, this is also part of God's providence because it's almost next door. So, thank you. Then number six is the Kalamazoo team needs to meet and discuss some approaches to be discussed in working out over the adults and students who attend the Kalamazoo Conference. Yes. See, there's work to be done. And that's why I said what I did about the meetings. And also, you people who are living here, this is one reason why the women are here, and there are more, please God, that will commit themselves. And because we are living in a, it's a new age in the church. In many ways, we've lost millions. The Latin Americans, these are Rome's figures. Rome's figures are 1 million, 1 million Latin American Catholics are lost to the church every year. 1 million every year. And, that statistic has been made, but there are, as we know, just tragic figures for the United States. And I can tell you the situation is much more serious than most people realize. It's very deep, affecting the clergy, affecting the thinking of the church, our universities, what Catholic universities are left, you see? And so that's the kind of work we're involved in. This is not just a side issue. So then the next Say Yes to Jesus program is in Buffalo, Minnesota, on April the 23rd. Rather than someone from the Detroit area going there, we are thinking about someone from the Chicago area or closer going. Well, fine. But I would not hesitate recommending anybody from Detroit also participating. Thank you. That's the SAS to Jesus rally. And then prayers from Peter Basic. How's Peter doing?
Well,
He just finished his first chemo tonight. Trying to get his sea legs under him, and after the meeting, I'll go and bring him here because I don't want him to drive 2 hours tonight home.
Okay.
And when he's capable of driving tomorrow, we'll go home.
Okay. I spoke briefly to Peter, and he seemed to be in.
The worst reaction that he had to the chemo was he had an awful case of hiccups all day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But he's only vomited 3 times in 3 days.
Okay, so it's
he's not having the bad reactions that they usually do.
Okay. Yeah, so it is promising, it looks. But keep praying, okay? Keep praying for Peter, okay? And then 5 talks at Our Lady of Victory. That was Michael McDonald who brought me over there. I must have been at Our Lady of Victory sometime in my life. All I know is it's an update parish. The latest innovations, I'm sure that I've heard of. By the way, I was assured there'd be no women altar servers while I was at the altar, but regularly that's what they have over there. And if you know anything about the history, some pretty scandalous things have happened at the parish in the last several months. In any case, but the church was filled. And Danny, did you tape that? You taped that talk. And then, Lewis, you might want to report briefly on.
Yes. We had a very special event at our parish last Sunday.
Birds. It's been almost, except for a periodical article in the Catholic press, the Catechism. Well, people know it's coming out, but most Catholics do not realize the significance or the necessity of the Catechism, but they need training, and that's something we can follow up on, because the as far as I know, the Archdiocese of Detroit, Louis, what are they doing to put the Catechism in Detroit?
As far as I know, the Director of Religious Education meeting some of the Archdiocese certification meetings.
Yeah, there's somebody in charge. Because see, what we've got to also use our hands on, and that is, while we're doing our work, and whatever we have agreed to do, but to avoid even the semblance of competition with the Archdiocese. And now the one formula that has to be followed, and that is to avoid any criticism, open criticism among ourselves. There are things we can say that need to be said, but as some of you people know better than I, but the catechetical situation in Detroit is not the best. Is that a safe statement, Lewis?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Same in Lansing Diocese.
And so that it's the delicacy of doing that what needs to be done, and not unnecessarily broadcasting what we're doing, not necessarily even talking about it. Richard?
May I find out what Lansing is doing specifically in the report next week?
Please.
May I find out what Lansing is doing?
Yeah, it would be well. I'll make a longer report when they come to the that newsletter that we're going to publish for the Holy See, because you should know what's going on.
I have another question. Is there a Russian translation yet of the
Catechism?
Is there a Russian translation of the Catechism?
Is there a Russian?
There are two of our.
Well, what I can find out. I will be in contact with Cardinal Sanchez at least by the beginning of next week, and we'll be in contact with him, however it's through our liaison man in Rome, and to find out, because then we could work on it. In fact, this is where Tom Monahan, as you probably know, this goes back 3 years, where after Mr. Monahan had finished his 30-day retreat, then he made certain resolutions which retreats are supposed to make. But one of his resolutions was to work with the Holy See. And in fact, in many ways, the catechism would not have got off guard, at least not the way it did, except for his financial assistance. He helped substantially. But then something happened. Nobody knows, but somebody, put Tom Monahan, on the back burner. And because, as you know, Tom is pretty outspoken on certain things. At any rate, now I have not got back to Tom regarding this. We're in conversation periodically, but not about this. On the other hand, he does want to work for the Holy See. And on what conditions, that, of course, would depend on certain people in Rome. But one of the things that Cardinal Ratzinger asked of him was to provide the finances for translations, paying both for the translation and the publication of catechisms that would not be so widely used at first. Now, Russian would be one. Also, many other languages, like, for example, in Africa, for that matter, in India. There are many languages spoken in India. I found out millions just don't talk English in India, except the educated. So, and let me try to find out by next Wednesday whether there's a Russian translation in process.
We are currently sending 100 copies with two brothers, Franciscan brothers, to Vladivostok, and of the catechism. It's in Russian, and they are printing it now.
They're being used, yes.
Yes, we're sending 100 copies to Vladivostok.
And by the way, I should also tell you this, that Father Miller left the Blue Army. He's no longer the national director. And Bishop Sullivan of Fargo, North Dakota, he and Bishop Hastich, who is retired, but Bishop Sullivan is the more active Episcopal director of the Blue Army. And we've been in correspondence just yesterday, in fact. I wrote a letter to, back to him, to Bishop Sullivan. But a former student of mine, a Father Paul Driscoll, I recommended him to the bishops to be the new national director. And it seems that, provided his bishop releases him, he's in the Rockville Center, New York Diocese, that he would then be the next national director of the Blue Army. Now, Father Paul and I are very close friends. He's as Orthodox as they come, and intelligent, way above average intelligence, writes well. In any case, and this is one thing that over the last several, maybe about 5 years, in speaking to the Blue Army, including their board of directors, I told them, by all means, continue all your promotion and devotion to Our Lady. That's beautiful. Keep it up. But with the tremendous contact they've got in the United States and other countries too, concentrate on catechetics. What I might do is, if somebody would remind me by next Wednesday, to bring at least one copy, and maybe Zeroth copies could be made, of the, when I thought, and I talked to the board of directors in saying this, that the future of the Blue Army depends on its promoting catechetics, because the purpose of the Marianization catechists, as Rome has told me, is to be leaders in the catechetical movement. Not necessarily that we do all the work, which is impossible. There's too much to be done. But that we would encourage people, and only encourage them to help them in any way that we can, you see. Father Paul Driscoll, he is 100% on our side. And that would be an outlet, tremendous outlet, with their headquarters.
I was unable to locate a good translator, but I found out that there is to find out
whether a Russian translation is in process, whether it's planned, number one, whether it's in process, number two. If it is, well, then we say a prayer of thanks, but forget it, you see.
Yeah.
But I do know this, that Rome is very interested, put it mildly, in getting translations into so many of the languages. However, I think I should anticipate, I got a call from Rome today, more than half an hour call. And you might remember these two names. Our two representatives in Rome are a priest by the name of P. Peter Fremont Smith. Peter's his first name. Fremont Smith is his last name. F-R-E-M-O-N-T hyphen Smith. Now, Fremont Smith is a member of a men's community. You also have women. But the men's community is Society of Our Lady of the Holy Trinity. Society of Our Lady of the Holy Trinity. Their initials are S-O-L-T. Their founder is still living, Father Flanagan. And the headquarters are in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you've heard about Father Phil Chavez, some of you have met him, Phil Chavez. He's a member of that community. In any case, I've been working with them for some time now, and they are getting pontifical status in Rome, which is why Fremont Smith went to Rome in the first place. And they've been hoping to take over the convent of the Hammers of the Precious Blood in Rome that I worked with for 20 years now. They're a contemplative community praying for priests. In any case, Fremont Smith is a priest who is our representative in Rome, and Joseph Johnson is a seminarian, I believe in his second year of theology. He is an American, but he's incarnated in the Albano Diocese of Italy, which is next door to Rome. Now, Joseph Smith he speaks fluent Italian, did his philosophy in Rome, and just knows the language well. And now, Joseph Smith is one that I spoke to today for half an hour. And he told me, as I think you all may have heard, that June the 22nd is the official date when the American translation is coming out. They're having two translations, British and American. Now, I understand that the British and American, except for the words that somewhat differ in spelling, I have not heard there are going to be two different translations, except for the British words, which they sometimes change the spelling of. And there may be some other British changes. The British edition may be out before June the 22nd. Ours is due on June the 22nd, which, as you may know, is the feast of Saints John Francis, John Fisher, and layman. Who's that?
Thomas Moore.
Please?
Thomas Moore.
Thomas Moore and John Fisher. That's the Pope's date for publishing. Couldn't have picked a better date, you know. At any rate, however, he told me in talking to the people in Rome that the Holy See plans to publish the Italian, the Latin text of the Catechism by the spring of 95. By the spring of 95, the Latin text of the Catechism will be available, that's good to hear. In any case, now the Latin text then, of course, becomes the official text. And there will be some minor changes, for example, the bibliography and things are in footnotes now will be put inside the text. There will be structural changes, but content-wise, I've been told that the Latin text will not differ substantially from, the French text or Spanish and so on. In any case, then the Latin text will remain officially and the permanent text. Okay? And do, as I say, the Latin do. I don't think we should talk much about this in public. But at least the Latin text is out, should be out by the spring of 95. And our English, American translation or edition should be out, they tell me, by June the 22nd. Okay. Then, course in evangelization, I talked to Marcia Knight again. I would like to make this, however, more serious than I think I made it last time. I didn't want just to bring the text, She tells me she's got further copies. And I met Marcia. Some of you made the retreat there. You met Marcia Knight. Her name, by the way, is spelled M-R-C-I-A. Marcia, M-R-C-I-A Knight. Marcia Knight. And I talked to Marcia the other day. We'd like to cooperate with us. She'd be willing to come to one of our meetings, you see. And now Marcia, as I think I told you, had been teaching evangelization and done schools before they closed. She is now director of, well, retreats and seminars at the Romero Center at the university. From what I've spent hours now talking with Marcia, I think she's straight, as we say. In any case, she's got some good ideas, and now what she hasn't done, of course, is organize, because she depends on the organization of other people.